Somebody in the house is trusting God for the impossible today. And can I just remind you that hope is never lost on Jesus. He's here to meet you where you are. Let's worship him.
Miracles when you move, such an easy thing for you to do. And your head is moving right now. And you are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. And your voice is calling me out.
Together.
Everything's possible by the power of the Holy Ghost.
A new wind is blowing right now, breaking my heart stone,
taking over like it's Jericho.
And my walls are all crashing down.
Right now, I know you're able.
Of the Lord this morning. We call on the Lord, for he is worthy of our praise. Amen. And we are saved from every enemy. He wins every battle. Let's worship him today. Come on, church.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. Oh, yes, you do. And when all I see is the mountain,
You see a mountain move. You believe that?
As I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you.
Come on, you know it, church. Sing it out. So when I fight.
So when I fight, I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh, God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh, God, the battle belongs to you.
With you, Jesus.
For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you.
The shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Sing it.
An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power.
Amen. Aren't you glad the battle belongs to Him? I am so excited that you're here today, because I was talking to Pastor this week, and just even now, and I heard the message in the first service, and I promise you, it's one of the best ones ever. And it's incredible, because my prayer today was, and I didn't know that you would be here specifically, but I pray that God would bring those who needed to hear the message today, because it is about the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And that's the part that I can't wait for you to hear today. Now, my name is Mike. I get a chance to be the minister to our schools here through Prestonwood Christian Academy. On three, why don't you do this? Those of you online, why don't you tell me where you're watching from? But those here in the room with me, on three, yell your first name to me. Ready? One, two, three. Nice to meet you. Very good. I like it. I got it down now. Some of those who didn't yell, I'll guess and I'll make up a first name for you now, okay? You're going to want to get involved. Before you take a seat, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look to the person to your left and the person to your right, and I want you to say to them, I'm excited you are here. Awesome. All right, you can take a seat. I love the chance that we get a chance to meet each other and those online. Thanks for those who are watching with us today, because again, you're in for a treat, or you can have your money back. How's that? You know what's coming up, though, is a big day, Easter. Can you believe it? I know it's 25 degrees here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area today, but tomorrow, spring hopefully has sprung, right? And it's coming, and Easter season is here, and I love Easter season. And one of the things I love about it is it's an opportunity to share the good news. So I'm going to show you something here, a little bit of video here in a moment, of how we've had a chance to do that through our Pressburg Christian Academy all across the world. But what I will tell you is this: you have a chance to really get involved with this by either getting a yard sign. How many of you got a yard sign that says Easter at Preston? You got that? For those of you who don't have your hand up, feel guilty right now, okay? Because we want you to have those out. It's been so cool. Can I tell you a cool experience? So I live in the McKinney area, and I have got, it's like we took over the neighborhood with our yard signs. It's awesome. But I had somebody put one up, and I'm like, I haven't been very nice to that neighbor, and they go to church with me. So I had to go over and say, hi, I'm Mike. And they're like, oh, I know you. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. So it's an opportunity to maybe mend some fences and be able to connect with others as well. But I also, there's lots of different things that you can do. We've got them out in the foyer of ways to get engaged for Easter. Now, why is that so important? It's because we have an opportunity to reach out. Now, one of the things my prayer was is that to bring people today online and here that can hear this message. Because I would be remiss to say, I don't know exactly what you're going through. But I know maybe you have a troubled heart, maybe a hurting heart. Maybe you've got some things that you don't understand what God's plan is. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to see today in John 14, 1, right off the bat, he says, rest in a troubled heart. If you've got a troubled heart, right off the bat. Now, here's what I'll tell you is this. 14, 6 is where it's at. And you're going to hear that today as well. Because Jesus says, help me with this. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the... Now, don't forget this last part. Pastor's going to remind us. No one goes to the Father except through me. And you're going to hear that today. We had an exciting moment for us just a couple weeks ago where we had a chance to send out 500 of our students out across the world in our local missions. And I wanted to show you a video of what we call a mini-mester. It was, we took a week of school through Prestwood Christian Academy, and we sent kids and teachers and adults out all over the world. And I wanted to show it to you how special it was to show others how to love Jesus and love others enough to share him with them. We're out at Mini-Master.
Hi guys! We're here!
It feels like the first time. My name is Fish.
Oh, they're coming.
What is happening?
And we're here at Greece.
Sense of hope in you, the generation now.
We've got Mini-Masters going all over the world.
Those that are involved in Mini-Master at Prestonwood Christian Academy, we each are called by God to be part of one of these assignments.
We see literally God using us. It's really the end result of everything they learn in the classroom, everything they learn in chapel is, hey, now God can use me. It's PCA for the nations.
Hey, I'm Landon Shaw.
Hi, my name is Daniel Kim.
And right now I'm in Costa Rica. We've been building a house.
We built a house for a family in need. We really enjoyed connecting with the families there.
Meeting the people, it was super awesome, and I'm just super blessed that we're out here.
Fulfilling the mission that Christ calls us to, but also what we do at PCA, which is love Jesus and love others enough to share it with him. That's the importance of Mini-Master, and that's why we do what we do. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Alexander and I'm on the Costa Rica trip. Something that's super unique is to see how the church works and how God works in mysterious ways. I was scared of making mistakes on this trip. I was scared of, what if I mess up on construction? What if I embarrass myself? What if I'm not translating good or accurate enough? But I realized by trying to make all those perfections that I am inhibiting myself to do things for other people. I'm limiting myself. So I think a real takeaway is not being afraid to do things just because you're afraid of messing up, because you will let down other people besides yourself.
Isn't that cool? I was so excited that we got to share his great name all over the world. But here's what I will tell you, and the challenge that I have for you today is that you don't have to go all over the world in order to share his great name. You could have a neighbor right next to you, as I found out, that you have a connection with, that you can have the boldness and courage to be able to reach out to and maybe invite him to church, invite him to Easter, invite him to be a part of what God has for them. As you stand up and we have a chance to be able just to dedicate this time to prayer, go ahead, stand up. A little exercise today. As I want to dedicate this time just to be able to continue in worship, to lift up his great name. But can I tell you something that took me years to be able to figure out? A lot of times I would go to worship service and I'd go to it to see what I could receive. But what can I tell you will change your perspective is, what can you give? As you praise his great name, and as we go forward in worship. You know, I love being able to do symbolic things, and maybe you're comfortable or not, but what I would ask you is maybe just to reach out a hand, just like we talk about raising our hands to receive what God has for us. Lord, we just come before you. We thank you for this time today. We know that there's incredible joy, incredible hope. Lord, incredible peace that passes all understanding in your great name. Lord, we claim, as you share in John 14:6, that you are the way, that you are the truth, you are the life, that we cannot come to the Father except through you. And today we dedicate this time to you. We bring our praise to you, our great Creator. Give us the boldness and courageousness to be able to lift your name in our neighborhoods, in our homes, and to love others so much that we share your name with them. And everyone said, amen.
Every fear has no place. The name of Jesus Christ is worthy of our praise and our adoration. He is faithful. He is true. He's proven himself. He is the physical representation of God the Father. This morning, our pastor is going to be speaking out of John 14. And in John 14, Jesus is speaking with his disciples. And in verse 11, he says, "Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." And then he says, if you can't believe that, believe what you've seen. Believe these works that I've shown you. Jesus has been put to the test. He's been put through the ringer. And every single time he comes out on the other end, proven, tested, and tried, and true. Because he is faithful, he's consistent, he is stable, he is our solid rock. Matthew 7, verse 24 says this, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." Amen. He is our foundation. We're thankful. Listen.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. Oh, he won't. No. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not
morning, everyone, and this is our message series, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. It's the greatest story ever told. Take your Bibles and turn to John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, one of the most beloved passages in all of the Bible. Jesus has gathered his disciples in the upper room, and he tells them, in effect, he gives their last will and testament, and shows us how to go forward in life with him. This has been a wonderful worship service already. Thank you for participating and singing and sharing. You know, our worship time is not the warm-up for the word time. It is all connected. I so appreciate our great choir and orchestra and our singers, the great music that we sing here, all focused on Christ and the greatness of our God. I like that new one on the faithfulness of God. I love songs that sing about the faithfulness of God, that God always is faithful to us and he will never fail us, not even once. He is faithful and true. And on this sun-kissed morning here in North Texas, we welcome all of you online. I hope each of us will stay connected throughout the week. For example, you can be on the Bible in a Year podcast, and we appreciate so many of you who are part of that and yet others who will join us. You're joined with our congregation right now in a journey with Jesus, the Living Hope Devotional, on our way to Easter. And so you can connect on this coming Wednesday. Jason Snyder, who leads our spiritual development, pastor of spiritual development, leads our Bible teaching ministry. The two of us are going to teach the book of Revelation in the connection service, along with others on our pastoral and preaching team. So that's another way. You can connect on, if you're a young adult in your 20-somethings or early 30-somethings years, we have the gathering on Thursday night. And we would love for you to come or to invite your friends to go and be a part of the gathering. This is a service especially designed for young believers and as an outreach to our community, just filled with hundreds of thousands of young adults. You know, when I see the Minimaster report on screen, it just encourages me to no end as to how we are reaching the next generation with the gospel of Christ and growing these young men and women up to serve and follow Christ and until he comes. And so we're just thrilled, whether it's our student ministry or Prestonwood Christian Academy under the incredible leadership of Dr. Mike Goddard and his team and our faculty and all the rest. It's such an incredible time to raise up this generation of believers and followers of Christ. I'm very excited about that and what is happening with that. So that's young adults on Thursday evening, and we would appreciate it if you would pass the word. It's a growing service. Attendance is growing in this service on Thursday nights. So today's message is on the hope of heaven. If you find yourself in a time where your heart is troubled, maybe even heartbroken, we realize watching online or watching in this room, worshiping in this room today, that there are many people who are heartbroken, who are struggling, who are suffering, and or who you have family members or friends who are living without hope. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ, but there's no hope in dying without Christ, and there's no hope in life without Christ. So Jesus makes sure that we know who he is and how we can know him and then to know for certain, without any shadow of a doubt, that we are going to heaven. You say, is it really possible for someone to know for sure that they're going to heaven? Maybe you even think it's somewhat arrogant for someone to say, I know I'm going to heaven. How can anyone know? Well, the same writer of the Gospel of John the Apostle, would later say in 1 John 5:13, these things are written, God's word, that you may know that you have eternal life. And you can live with blessed assurance. You can live with this confidence and certainty, and it's the only way to live. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus is giving these final words on the eve of his death on the cross. He's now hours from the crucifixion. He's gathered his disciples. He's washed their feet. He's observed the Passover with them because he is the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he institutes the Lord's Supper. The Passover now moves to a Christian faith that is built upon the blood and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper there with those disciples, and we've been observing that throughout the generations. And then he begins to teach them and talk to them about what life is going to be like without him, his physical presence on earth. And that's so very important to all of us, isn't it? Because we weren't there, and we are here and now. So what happened so long ago and how Jesus instructed his disciples then has incredible importance to you and to me today as to how we're to live the Christian life. And so he talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about staying connected, abiding in Christ. He talks about facing resistance and persecution. He talks about prayer and many other subjects in the upper room, in those hours before the day of his crucifixion. Verse 1 of chapter 14, again, beloved passage of Scripture, one that many of you know, but I want you to read this with me. Follow along as I read it as though you're seeing it for the first time and hearing it from the lips of Jesus, because these are his words. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Do you have a troubled heart? Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Later in this same passage, he promised peace. He said, my peace I leave with you. This is the living legacy of Jesus. It is the peace that he gives. It's the peace that the world can't give and the world can't take away. It's the peace that we sang about earlier that is unspeakable and indescribable, but it is unmistakable. It is the peace, as the song says, that doesn't make sense. In the midst of chaos and grief and sorrow, there's this supernatural peace that God gives us. We've said often that the peace of God is not the absence of trouble, but it is the presence of Jesus in your life. And so he says, believe in me. And then verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Mark those words. Verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves, that is, the miracles that I have performed. Believe because of the miracles, and believe because of me. Today, I want to talk to you about this hope that we have in Christ. It is the only hope, and that hope that the world so desperately needs is heaven. It is the hope of eternal life that is given in Christ and Christ alone. So let's think about heaven today. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to think about heaven. They don't want to think about eternity or the afterlife, and they go every single day, and it never occurs to them that one day they're going to spend eternity somewhere in heaven, either in heaven or in hell. You say, what is hell. Hell is eternal separation from God. Heaven is to be with God. Hell is to be without God forever. And you have to do more than die to go to heaven. And that is what Jesus is going to be talking about today. Now, heaven is beyond our description and imagination. And I've tried all morning to think of ways that I could bring this message about heaven in the few minutes that I have with you. I have an entire message series that we did 2 or 3 years ago on heaven that I would refer you to. You can find it online. But the place that Jesus is preparing for us is beyond description. And it is our heart's desire always to know more and more as believers and followers of Jesus about what this heaven is like, and more importantly, how we can take as many people with us as possible. The Bible says, set your affections on things above and not on things below. So our ambitions, our affections are to be set on things above and not on things below. If I were to ask you to look to heaven, most likely, what would you do? You would look up. And that's a natural thing to do. And in fact, that's what Jesus did in John chapter 17 when it says he looked up to heaven and he offered prayer. When we pray, we often bow our heads or bow our knees or sometimes even get on our faces before God. But it is entirely proper and prospective that we would lift our eyes to heaven because we are living for the promise that he has given to us. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things of this world, will be added to you. Paul said, I press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. For the Christian, pressing on is, we're pressing on the upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. It is the onward and upward move. This is our mentality. This is our ambition, our holy ambition. It is to live not just for today, but to live for the promise that God has given us. Jesus also said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. Don't live for the treasures and pleasures of this world, but live for the treasures and pleasures and the rewards that are yet to come. You say, well, isn't that living an otherworldly life and not doing much? You know, people want to talk about the sweet by and by. What about the nasty now and now? Well, let me tell you about the nasty now and now. C.S. Lewis said it best. If you read history, Lewis said, you will find that the Christians who did the most for this present world were those who thought most of the next. Let us make heaven the habits of our heart. That is, when we awaken, when we lay our heads down, when we live our days, let us give attention and focus to Christ and to the kingdom of God, your home for all eternity, in the place where all things are made brand new. Here, everything is wearing out and going away, but there, all things new. So let's talk about the reality of heaven first. The reality of heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. So it's on the map, veritably. This place called heaven, it is a literal place, not a figurative place. It's not a metaphysical existence. It is a real life in a real place. It's not fantasy land. It's not never, never land. It's not a wispy, willowy existence floating in the clouds with spa music going on in the background. No, heaven is a dynamic and delightful place, the place beyond what our minds can imagine, but it is reality. Sometimes people speak of things on earth as being heavenly, somebody's got a heavenly marriage or, you know, a heavenly life, but heaven is not an adjective or an adverb. Heaven is a reality. Jesus himself came from heaven and to the earth. And when he died and rose again, he ascended back to the heaven, to the right hand of the Father. And one day, as he promises here, he's coming back from the heavens to take us all to heaven. This is our hope. I go to prepare a place for you. And if Jesus, the carpenter on earth, is preparing a place for us, the Savior, the Son of God, can you imagine how wonderful, how beautiful, how glorious, how majestic, how fantastic it is to be in this place? Heaven is a place more real. This kingdom of God and this eternal life that we have now and forever is more real than this physical life that we live today. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Everything in this world, as we know it, is ending. It's all coming at an end, to an end. And frankly, that's why many people have troubled hearts. That's why so many people are heartbroken, because someone they love is lost or gone. Someone died. Someone left. Things come to an end, and it breaks our hearts. And Jesus said, there's coming a time and coming a place where nothing ends, that it is beautiful and glorious and eternal. Everything in this world is blowing up and breaking down and one day burning up. It's transitory. It is temporal. Why would anyone live their lives for that which is ending, when God has promised us a life that will never end? And that life is not over, just over there. It is over there on the other side, but it is here and now. Nothing is permanent, so don't live for now. Live not for the now life, but for the next life that God has promised you. Because when you live for then and there, you will make a difference here and now the biggest way possible. In the new world, in the new heavens and the earth, we're told in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we will all be given immortal bodies. That which is mortal, our physical bodies, which are breaking down. We get older, we get tired, we get sick, everything's breaking down, but then we will be given a new and beautiful body. It will be a makeover like you've never seen before. So heaven will be a place for real people, spend a real eternity in the presence of a real Savior and God for a real eternity. And we will be there free from sin, and free from decay, and free from death, and free from sorrow, and free from pain, and free from the tears. No more tears, no more suffering, no more crying, no more depression, no more anxiety, no more loneliness, no more heartache, no more breakdown and breakups. It will be a place where the no mores are ended and the never ends never ends. That's heaven. That's heaven. And I want you to think about it today. And I want you to consider that truth every day of your life going forward. If there's one compelling reason, there are others, but if there's one compelling reason I would give you to concentrate on what we're talking about today, is that this will change your perspective in life. It will change how you live your life. For example, it will elevate your life to enjoy your days on earth even more. There's joy in knowing Jesus. There's the fullness of His joy. We're going to be talking about that in my message on Easter Sunday. There's just incredible pleasure in living for Him. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's incredible peace and purpose and discovering God's plan and living a dynamic life and living life as God planned for you, to give you a future and a hope, to live a hope-filled life, not a hopeless life. So many live in despair and defeat, and even Christians who are broken down and defeated because they're not living with this heavenly ambition, this focus on Christ and the promise that He has made that one day He's coming for us. One day we're going to be with Him. This promise of heaven also will enable us to overcome temptation. In fact, it's the greatest incentive and motivation. I like to say that heaven is not only a destination, it is a destination, but it's also a motivation, and it is a motivation to live for Jesus today. The Bible says he that has this hope in him, this hope of eternal life, this hope of heaven, the one who has this hope in him purifies himself. So there is this sanctifying effect. Sanctifying meaning to being made more holy and more like Christ every day. And to think and to contemplate and to concentrate on the hope that is ahead of us is to enable us to overcome the test of life and the trials of life, and not just endure them, but actually to enlist them, to take adversity as a partner in growing in our faith. And all of these things come to the person who understands who they are in Christ and where they're going in him. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Think with me for a few moments about the beauty of heaven. Beyond what our minds can even envision or see are the beauties and glories that are described in the Bible about heaven. And no doubt most of you have heard about pearly gates and streets of gold. And, you know, here on earth we grab for gold and stick all the gold we can in places nobody can find it. In heaven, they're just making streets out of it. But golden streets and diamonds and pearls and eternal sunlight and all these beauties and wonders that will be heaven. Yes, heaven is a wonderful place. It's a beautiful place beyond what our minds can fathom. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him. And so think just for a moment of the wonders of this world, all that God has created. The most beautiful things on earth. What are the most beautiful things on earth to you? Is it a majestic mountain cast? Is it a sunrise? Is it a sunset? Is it the sea? The powerful seas flowing? Is it a great tree? I mean, all these things that God has made. The animal kingdom. These beautiful animals that God has made. We just got a new puppy this week. And he's beautiful. And he's doing a lot of things. Well, we named him Rowdy. And so far, he's living up to his name. He's a beagle. We love beagles. And you look in the little face of that little Rowdy beagle. And I don't know about you, but I smell puppy breath. And it's delightful. It's wonderful. But better yet, to hold a newborn baby, your grandchild, your child, to see the wonder of birth and just all the things that you can imagine in creation on this side. Now, the problem is nature, as we know it, on this side of eternity, this world, this globe is groaning, according to Romans 8. And therefore, because we are living under this curse, this dynamic, the failure, the fall of sin and its consequences, we live in a broken world, including the natural world. And so nature can be ambiguous, and whether it's a tornado or a hurricane or something devastating that comes out of nature, death itself. And so this side of the world, this side of eternity rather, is flawed, and yet how beautiful. It's like the little girl in the Sunday school was out with her mother looking up at the stars one night, and she said to her mother, said, Mother, if it's so beautiful this side, on the wrong side of heaven, what was the right side of heaven look like? Well, it's going to be magnificent, the beauty of heaven. Let's talk then about the activity of heaven for just a few moments. What are you going to do in heaven forever and ever? It's not going to be boring, I assure you of that. Maybe you're thinking, what am I going to do forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? That's a really long time. Well, there's going to be plenty to do. You might be thinking, because you imagine heaven as being one long, boring church service. I've been in some of those, and so have you. But heaven's not one long, boring religious service. It's the worship of the Savior, his prayer. Can you imagine being bored in the presence of Jesus? His Spirit rests upon us here, and his Spirit flows through us here, and it's wonderful. But there, his very presence, we are with him. We're worshiping our God. And what Jesus specifically tells us about heaven is that it's the Father's house. Heaven is described in the Bible as a city, a magnificent city. It's described as a country. It's described in some places, even on the cross by Jesus, as paradise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. But here, Jesus gives us this most wonderful description. It's home. It's family. It's the Father's house. And because we are a part of the family of God, we are forever together with Him. People want to know, will we know each other in heaven? I would say we won't really know one another until we get to heaven. We won't really know ourselves until we get to heaven. We will know then even as we are known. Certainly we will know one another. And there's plenty of biblical references that I could give you today that tell us that, yes, we will be recognizable in heaven. Remember, again, not disembodied spirits, but real people in a real world and with eternal immortal bodies. And Jesus knew, and the disciples knew, Elijah and Moses on the Transfiguration. David spoke of his infant son that he would see. He said, I can't bring the child back, but I can go to the child. And Paul spoke of the rapture and the resurrection when together we will be with the Lord. We will be a family together. Yes, we will know one another. As one elderly Christian said, you don't think we'll be more foolish in heaven than we are on earth, do you? We recognize people here, of course, and we'll recognize one another in heaven. So there, heaven is a place of renewal and rejuvenation and redemption, total and perfect redemption. It's a place of recognition. It's a place of reward where those who have served the Lord so faithfully will be honored at the judgment seat of Christ and given great rewards. And the greatest reward of all is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But most of all, let's talk about the glory of heaven. And the glory of heaven is Jesus. What makes heaven heaven is the one who is there. He said that where I am, there you may be also. It's the joy of seeing Jesus. We've never seen him face to face physically, but then we shall see him. We will know him by the prints of the nails in his hands. We will know him immediately. Peter talked about loving him who we have not seen. And I love Jesus. I love him now. But let me tell you something. The longer and the more you love Jesus, are you listening? The longer you love Jesus and walk with him, the more you love him and the more you want to be with him. The more you want to be with him. That's why Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, I have a desire to depart with Christ, to be with him, which is far better. So back to the top of the passage, when he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Literally, he was saying to his disciples, it was a dark night. They were confused. It was chaos. Jesus said, I'm going away. They don't know what's about to happen. They could not have imagined the pain, the crucifixion, the suffering, the death. They were troubled. They were struggling. But Jesus said, don't struggle with this. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. There's room for you. There's a place for you. Sad to see homeless people in this world, isn't it? See homeless people on the streets or people put out of their homes or residences. Our students, they got their eyes get open when they travel and see other places, other countries, and people living without homes and without heart, without a hope. It's so sad to see people without a home. I tell you, what makes home to me is the one who has been in my home for 53 years, my wife. You know, when I come home from a trip, I don't hug the lamp and kiss the refrigerator. It's not the furniture. It's not the stuff in the house that makes it a home. And it's family, it's friends, it's the Father's house. We're in the presence of Jesus forever. And because we love him, we live for him. And because we live for him and our eyes are focused on him with this perspective, we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's coming again, either victorious visibly at his return at the rapture when he takes us home, or He's coming through the portals of death to bring us into his presence, and we will live with him forever and ever. This is eternal life. It begins now, and it is forever. But one final thing before we close. We've talked a little bit about the reality of heaven and the beauty of heaven and the activity of heaven. We'll be serving him day and night. There'll be plenty to do in heaven throughout all eternity. We've talked about the glory of heaven. The glory of heaven is Jesus himself, God himself, the Father's house. But let's close this message with one very important piece and point. The exclusivity of heaven. And that's verse 6. The exclusivity of heaven. Because Jesus said, I'm going, and you know where I'm going. And Thomas asked the most important question anyone can ask. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Sometimes Thomas gets the bad rap. Oh, yeah, doubting Thomas. And Thomas did have some doubt, but he expressed it, and he asked important questions. And thank God Thomas asked this question, because we have this signature statement of Jesus as to who he is, his identity, when he says, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Sometimes you hear that verse quoted, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and it stops right there. It doesn't stop right there. Jesus didn't stop with I am the way, the truth, and the life. He went on to say, and no one comes to the Father's house, apart from me. How could he make that claim? If you make that claim for Christ today, you're viewed as a religious bigot. You face all kinds of resistance. If you say that Christ is the only way to heaven, to some of your family, some of your friends, they're going to write you off as being an extreme religious fanatic, a fundamentalist, whatever. But Jesus said it, and I'm staying with Jesus on this. No other religion. You see, we have this faith that is unlike any philosophy, religion in all the world, that says that we cannot save ourselves. There's nothing that we can do, not humanitarian effort, giving our money, not charitable work, not good deeds, not religion, not practicing a faith of some kind, any faith, whatever faith you may choose. We have a faith that is exclusive in the sense that Jesus is the only one who left heaven, who is one essentially with God the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You look at me, you're looking at God. This is the claim. Everything in Christianity is the claim of Christ. It's all centered in what Jesus said. Ours is an historic faith based upon who Jesus is. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. He's not the best way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. He's not a way. He's the way to heaven. So I know that's not politically correct, and in some circles, it's not ecclesiastically correct, because you can find churches that open their message to anyone on any way you come, any door you walk in. But Jesus said, I am the door. I am the narrow way. What is the way? It's the way of Jesus. It's the way of salvation. It's the way of the cross. Jesus came. He died. He rose again. This is the message. If Christ did not come out of that grave, discard every bit of this. Delete it all. But because we believe that Jesus is God, Savior and Lord, we boldly declare what he said. So we declare Christ boldly, lovingly, but clearly. And that's the message that Jesus gave us to deliver. Later on, the apostles, Peter himself would say, there is salvation in no other. But there is one name, one great name. There is but one name given among men by which we must be saved. And that is Jesus. Salvation, therefore, is not worked up. It is given out by grace through faith. And so there's, you say, well, that sounds so narrow. Well, it is narrow in the sense that there's one way to heaven. And that way is Christ and Christ alone. But it's inclusive in that everyone is welcome. Jesus invites everyone. Jesus died for everyone. Jesus is the only one who died for you. He's the only one who came out of the grave. And so he said, whoever will, whosoever will, whoever will come to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Amen. This is the hope of heaven. You don't have half a hallelujah of hope for heaven without Jesus. It's only Jesus. He said, you've seen me. To his disciples, you're looking at the Father. You're looking at God. And now his Spirit, who is also co-equal, co-eternal with God, is in this place, convincing and convicting and calling you to Christ today. I can't convince you. Only the Holy Spirit through his word can convert anybody. But you're not here by chance, but or even by choice in one sense. You're here because God brought you here, or you're watching online, you're looking at a screen somewhere, and you don't know for certain that you have eternal life. You don't know that you're going to heaven, but you can know today. And I want to give you an invitation. You know, you think about the invitation of Jesus, it's like a proposal. In fact, background context to all of this John 14 passage, it's about the bridegroom and how the groom would propose and come back to the Father and then come for the bride. It's a beautiful Jewish picture and tradition that Jesus is painting here in John chapter 14, but he's the heavenly bridegroom. So that's why I'm saying in this sense, it's as though Jesus is proposing to you. And he's saying, I love you. I've given my life on the cross for you. I will provide everything you need in this life and in the life to come. All is yours. I'll give you everything if you will say yes to me. If you will say yes by faith, I will believe and follow you. It's a proposal. Will you say yes? Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, every head bowed? Say yes. Right now, by praying a prayer like this, Lord Jesus, I'm so grateful for your love. That your love includes me, that you brought me here, wherever I am, watching this service, to hear this message of your love and your grace and salvation. Lord, I do believe. I want to believe more in God than just believing in God somewhere, somehow. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Thank you for loving me and dying on the cross for my sins. I want more than a religion. I want a relationship with you. I want to know you. Lord, I want to see you face to face. Invite Christ into your life. Ask him to repent. Ask him to forgive your sins by turning from your sins. That's repentance. And trusting in Christ and Christ alone. Give up your idols. Give up the false gods of this world. Give up your religion. And come to Jesus. And Lord, give me the strength to live for you all the days of my life until I'm in your presence forever and ever. You can know you're going to heaven. Why would you walk out of here not knowing? How could you possibly not settle this today? So invite Christ into your life and say, thank you, Lord, that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven when you come for me. If you can give me that testimony that you know Christ is your Savior and you know for certain that you have eternal life, would you just hold up a hand as a testimony? Maybe it might be a testimony to someone around. Just go ahead, hold up a hand. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. Not because of anything that I have done, but Lord, what you have done. Amen. Now, those of you who couldn't lift your hand, this isn't an exclusive religious club. This is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we welcome you to come and join us in our mission to tell the world about Jesus. So you couldn't lift your hand, but you're praying that prayer. You want to invite Christ in your life. There are pastors upstairs in the balcony. Our ministers are right here, pastors right here as well. I'm going to ask you when we stand and sing in just a moment that you would come forward. And the act of coming forward would be your testimony of personal faith in Christ. You're making a profession, a confession of your faith in Christ by coming forward. Now, walking down an aisle doesn't save anybody, but putting your trust in Christ and following Him openly and publicly is what we're talking about. So would you make that decision today and make it public? There's something about coming forward among others that will seal it and settle it, solidify it in your life. So come forward as Jesus commanded us to confess Him openly. There are others you need a church home. You can join Prestonwood today. I want to encourage you to do that. We have so much to get done. And if God has led you to this wonderful church, we welcome you. Come and be with us and be the mission of Jesus Christ. If you want to rededicate your life to Christ, maybe you've walked away from the Lord, you've abandoned your faith in some way, but today you're coming home. Today you're coming back to the Lord. Make that decision. Do it publicly. Lord, thank you for this time to hear your word and to listen to your Spirit even now. Lord, forgive us when so often we just live for the things of this world. And we're so stressed out and wrought up and worked down and burned out because we're troubled. And Lord, we don't think about you and the promises that you've made to us. We don't live in the hope that we have in you. So Lord, just settle us and calm us and give us confidence and bring the lost to Jesus. Help them to find the way today in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.